2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this warning in your word. We need to be aware that there are times when troubled seas come. There are sneaking, deceitful men in the world. And so give us discerning eyes and ears and minds and hearts, that we would never be guilty of causing division where it's unnecessary, as we heard this morning, that in all things doubtful there would be liberty, but that in all things necessary there would be unity. We would be unified around the truth and be quick to shut out those that would bring in destructive, damnable heresies. Help me to be clear and helpful in my exposition of this passage here this afternoon, that your church would be built up, grounded, rooted, settled in the faith, that we would be more able to recognize the false as opposed to the true in every way. I ask all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. So, I told you last week that this is one of the most polemic chapters in the Bible. It's one of the most, uses some of the most antagonistic language in the Bible. Peter just pulls out all the stops, as it were, in his attack against false teachers. And we saw last week that this is nothing new. There were false prophets in the Old Testament, and there are false teachers under the New Covenant. And so we need to be aware of this. It wasn't just an Old Testament issue. It wasn't just an early church issue. It's not just an end of the world issue. It's an all-time issue. That everywhere there's truth, Satan is going to have deceivers out there to try to draw some away. So there's four things about these men that I want you to see from our verse here this afternoon. And I've tried to alliterate them. Maybe that'll help you remember them a little bit better when you're thinking about these false teachers and the false doctrines that they bring. We see in this verse that their doctrine is trendy, that their doctrine is treacherous, that their doctrine is traitorous, and that their doctrine is truthless. So we see all those things in this text here that we're considering this afternoon. So let's look at them one by one. First, we see that many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. This tells me that it is trendy. Many are going to follow it. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a movement. There's going to be a large crowd of people that begin to follow these. This isn't just a fringe movement. I was listening to a sermon this week on this passage, trying to wrap my mind around some of the ideas here. And he was talking about some of the fringe cults that have been out there that people have followed. But they're really, generally, in those movements, we're talking about a couple of hundred people. The statement here is that there's going to be many in the church visible who follow these men. Because, remember, they came in among us. We saw that last week. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. So there's going to be a lot of people who hear what they say and are deceived by what they say. There's going to be a lot of people who hear it and say, that sounds right. I like what that person's saying. I like the way that they go about that. I like the way that they deal with those doctrines. I like the way that they're non-confrontational. Whatever it is, it's trendy. This is a common theme throughout the Scriptures when dealing with false prophets, false Christs, and false teachers. In Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is telling his disciples about the persecution that was about to come upon them, and yea, all of Israel, and even the surrounding areas, he said this in Matthew 24 and verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Now, in this passage, I want you to see, I just went and I underlined every time the word many was used in this short phrase from verses 5 through 11. Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 10, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Again and again and again, Jesus warns his disciples, as Peter is warning us here, that just because a large segment of people are doing it doesn't mean it's right. In fact, if we were to be very honest with the way the Scripture speaks, most of the time when we see a large segment of people running after something, it ought to be a red flag. Popularity does not always mean error. There are some popular preachers out there who I think are being faithful to the truth and preach a true gospel, but there are many others who are not. There are so-called churches and movements like the Hillsong movement, which is full of heresy and error. There are writers and self-proclaimed pastors like Rob Bell and Stephen Furtick and Joel Osteen and Paula White who are very popular and who teach heresy, who teach another gospel, who claim to be among the church visible, and many follow them.
Yes.
They have best-selling books. Their podcasts are number one. Their churches are full of thousands of people. They have multiple campuses. There are works like The Shack, or So Many Minutes in Hell, or So Much Time in Heaven, that are full of error, and many go so far as heresy. That book, The Shack, was extremely popular when it came out, and it was a heretical view on the Trinity. It's popular. It's trendy. Many follow after it. Maybe you've heard people say things like, "I just want to be where the Lord is moving." Well, how do you judge that? Where is the Lord moving? Where there are many people? No, many people follow false teachers. Many people follow false prophets. Be very careful of the mindset that thinks, "I want to be where the trend is going. I want to be on the cutting edge. I want to be part of the cool crowd. I want to be in the midst of those who are full of novelty and popularity." Peter, in the midst of one of the harshest passages in the Scripture against someone or something else, starts off basically with this idea: it's going to be popular. You can count on it. It's going to be trendy. It's going to be a movement. There's going to be a lot of people. Don't fall prey to the trendiness. Don't fall prey to the popularity. That is no guide for truth. Secondly, it's treacherous. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Now, I don't know about you, I don't know if I've ever used the word pernicious in regular conversation. It's not a word we use very often, but it means fatal. It means treacherous. It means that it comes to a destructive end. In fact, this word, there's two words here translated in our English Bible, pernicious ways. It comes from one Greek word that's used, I think, four times in the first few verses here. Verse 1, "Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." That word damnable is the same word used here, translated here as pernicious ways. The end of verse 1, "bring upon themselves swift destruction." That word destruction is the same word used here, translated pernicious ways. And then verse 3, and their damnation slumbereth not. That word damnation is the same word translated here as pernicious ways. We're talking about something that leads to not only a physical fatal end, but a spiritual fatal end. We're talking about that which is not only dangerous to the body and the flesh and the blood, but to the soul. It's a damnable way. It's a fatal way. It's a destructive way. It's a pernicious way. The road to hell is a road filled with promises of prosperity, popularity, and pleasure. That list of heretics and heretical movements and works that I just gave you, very short, non-comprehensive list, is full of people who are promising their followers wealth, health, and happiness. Men who are denying the doctrine of hell. Men who are denying the doctrine of suffering in this life. The merchandise that they're selling, which we're going to get to when we get to verse 3, is that you can have a happy, healthy, wealthy life now. In fact, that's what Jesus bought for you. And it's a pernicious way. To follow that road sounds good, promises good, and falls off a cliff. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, you may have quoted this to your children when you were warning them of their companions. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 tells us that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be foolish. No, that's not what it says. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. The opposite of truth and error is not of truth and wisdom is not only error and foolishness, but it is ultimately always destruction. It's a pernicious way. It promises happiness, but it's not only a lie, it's not only foolishness, it is death. Again, the passage we just looked at in Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, we were in Matthew chapter 24, but we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7 twice. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Now, do you think that that gate has a big sign over the top? Destruction this way. Enter at your own risk. Bridge out ahead. Please come in and die. No, that's not what the gate says. The gate says fun, happiness, ease, comfort. No confrontation. Smooth sailing. Recently repaved. Come this way. False teachers. We've got a new way of interpreting this. Those old fogies for so many years, they were just bent on manipulating people, scaring them into heaven with threats of hell and the devil and fire and brimstone. We've evolved past that. Enter in at this gate. Leave that old straight narrow gate. That way hasn't worked that well, has it? You keep jostling and elbowing people trying to get through that gate. We've got the big gate. We've got the trendy gate. We've got the popular. Look, everybody's doing it. They all call themselves Christians. Come on, you can too. And the end thereof is not simply error, but destruction. In fact, in Romans chapter 9 and verse 22, Paul reminds us that these men were ordained to this end. What if God willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. He measured them. He made sure the fit was right for their destruction. We're told this in another place in Scripture, that these ungodly men were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. Simply because God is enduring, is long-suffering for a time with these false teachers, just because they're trendy. Hey, for the last 10 years, this has been the most popular way to go. This has been the best seller. Doesn't that speak to something? No, it doesn't. What if God, willing to endure? What if God just sat back and said, go ahead. Go ahead, Rob Bell. Keep pumping out those heresies. Go ahead, Joel Osteen. Be as popular as you want. Keep bringing them in. You've been fitted to destruction. Their end is sure. They are on the road to perdition. They are on a pernicious way. A fatal, damnable road. And everyone following them is following them to that end. Theirs truly is the road to ruin. But thirdly, it's traitorous. It's trendy and it's treacherous, but it's traitorous. We're not just talking about, as I said last week, the Muhammads, Joseph Smith. Maybe he was an apostate. Maybe at one time there was some kind of true confession from him. But we're not talking about those people who are our enemies. As we heard this morning, so often we think our enemies are always going to look like our enemies. They're always from the beginning going to have their spears pointed at us and a scowl on their faces. But what we're talking about here is apostates. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, why is the way of truth evil spoken of? Because these are people who said, we have the way of truth. There was a lot of mockery that went on a couple of years ago when Houston was flooded and Joel Osteen was nowhere to be found. There were satirical articles that he was sailing through Houston in his yacht handing out free copies of Your Best Life Now. Well, why was this mockery being made? Because here's a man who said, I stand for the truth. I preach Jesus. I'm here to tell you all about your happiness. And hardship strikes and no one hears from him. And people mock. Oh, that's the church? That's Christians? I see how it is. Oh, they're there when the going is smooth, but as soon as the going gets rough, they're nowhere to be found. Thanks a lot. I don't want anything to do with the church. I don't want anything to do with Christians. He's America's pastor. We'll see if I ever go to church in America. The truth is evil spoken of because these are traitors. These are those who with their lips proclaim Jesus and the truth, and with their actions and their innuendos and what they insinuate and the end of what they teach is heresy, is false, is damnable. It doesn't love their brethren as themselves. It doesn't love God with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't care for the widows and the orphans in their affliction. It doesn't keep themselves unspotted from the world. It doesn't do anything that true religion does. But they say, be warmed and filled. Go your way. We are Christians. We love you. Not that we'd actually do anything for you. We don't love you enough to actually tell you the truth about the state of your soul before God. In fact, we'll tickle your ears with the ideas that there is no hell, that God has no wrath. There's an old story about Rome in its early days. The Romans were at war with another nation known as the Sabines. And there was a woman of Rome named Tarpeia, and she was a traitor to Rome. And she went to the Sabines and she said, "Whatever your soldiers wear on their left arm, if every soldier in your army will give that to me, I'll give you the keys to the city." And the idea was that since the soldiers would fight with their right arms, many times they'd wear all their gold bracelets and jewelry on their left arm. And so she thought she was going to rack up. She was going to get all the gold on every soldier's left arm. And they cut this deal with her, and she met them at the city gates at midnight and opened the gates. And the first soldier that came in took his shield and smashed her across the side of the head and dropped his shield on top of her. And every soldier that walked through the gates swung his shield until she was buried alive under a pile of shields where she died. This is the end of every traitor. "We'll give you gold. You'll be wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. Come out from that old fuddy-duddy religious crowd. Come join the hip cutting-edge group. Come join the newest evolution of Christianity. Be part of this group. We'll give you everything on our left arms, and they will, and it'll be your death. It'll be the death of your soul. It'll be the way to hell." Look at what the Scriptures say throughout Scripture. We just read in Sunday school about Second Samuel chapter 12 about David. And you remember what the prophet told him, why he was going to be judged, why his child was going to die? In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." Here's a man after God's own heart. Here's the ruler of the chosen people of God. Here's the man that is the face of God's people to the nations round about. And he commits adultery and he commits murder. In a sense, he's a traitor to his king. Now he repents and he turns again, but for this time, he commits an act of treason. God told him, "Don't do this," and he did it. And he gave occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. There were already plenty of enemies of God. Where did they get the upper hand? When someone who claimed to be one of God's people committed treason. Romans chapter 2 and verse 24 speaks directly to the Israelites and their guiltiness before God. In verse 21, he says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Because of your hypocrisy and self-righteousness, because of your treasonous acts, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Among the enemies of God, God is evil spoken of because of your traitorous act. What about 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1? "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." Do you realize that? When you dishonor those that God has put in a position of authority over you in the workplace, in the civil government, in the church, wherever it may be, if you're a servant under a master and you dishonor your master, the Scriptures say you give occasion for God and His doctrine to be blasphemed. Because God and His doctrine is that the providence of God supersedes everything, and the position that you're in under the providence of God, and He's promised to work all things together for your good and His glory, and when you dishonor Him, you dishonor God. You say, I don't really believe God's in control. I'm going to complain about this position that I've been put in. I'm going to complain about what a dirty, rotten scoundrel of a boss I've got. I'm going to murmur and dishonor Him. I'm going to sneak around and steal from the company because He had it coming to Him. They steal from me every day. What about Titus chapter 2 and verse 5? The older women ought to be teaching the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Again and again and again and again, when the Scriptures talk about God and His doctrine and His word being blasphemed, it comes because the people of God are acting in a traitorous way. God and His Word and His doctrine are rarely blasphemed because of that atheist out there who's laughing at you for believing in the big guy in the sky. God's not that concerned about that. We don't read all throughout Scripture about how the heathen and the pagans are causing God's name to be blasphemed. God comes to His people again and again and again, and He says, when you disobey me, when you're disgruntled with my providence, when you go against my word and my law, when you kick against the authority that I've put over you, this is what causes God's name to be blasphemed among the unbelievers. They look at God's people and they say, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. You're just a bunch of traitors. The apostate's path is false teachers' path is not just a path of enmity and antagonism against God, but it's a traitorous path. It starts by swearing allegiance to Him, and it ends by being judged by Him. Satan is subtle. He is clever. He is tricky. And so he brings error into the church. He raises a false teacher up. And he says, y'all need to just be tolerant. Y'all need to just love everybody. Y'all need to just put up with this. Y'all need to learn to evolve a little bit. Move past that old-fashioned stuff. And then as soon as we do that, he says, ha, I gotcha. I knew you were going to do that. I always knew you were going to be that way. So be on guard. Be aware of the traitors. And lastly, it's truthless. The fact that false teachers are trendy, are popular, there's lots of people who follow them, the fact that their road is treacherous, deadly, fatal, damnable, the way that their way is traitorous, at the end of the day, I almost chose the word trivial. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything about the truth. All the gates of hell don't change the fact that all that's being spoken against them and all the people that are leaving it, the way of truth is still right there in the middle of that verse. It's still the way of truth. There may be few people following it. There may be few faithful men standing by it. There may be few that are following it to the end of life, but it's still the way of truth. It hasn't changed, however men may have changed. I told you that the way of truth is always contrasted with the way of destruction, and that's where we would go back to Matthew chapter 7. We read verse 13, where he tells us that the way is broad, which leads to destruction. But the very next verse in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14 is that because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It is a straight gate. It is a narrow way. But it's the way. It's the truth. It's the way. It's the life. In fact, this is the decree, the claim that Jesus had about Himself, is that this way, as Christianity has been called, is centered around the person and work of Jesus Christ Himself. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." The way to destruction is every other way. The way to life is narrow, is tight. He's the unalterable way of truth and life. He's the unchanged way of truth and life. The funny thing about trendiness, for those of you who have lived a few decades, you realize there's very, very few things that come across as trendy that weren't trendy before. You see some of these clothing styles and you thought, hey, I wore that in the 70s. I remember when that was a thing. You hear some style of music and you're like, wait a second. I remember when they made the first make of this. Now the remake's all popular. Vintage. Trendy in a new way. Heresy's no different. On Thursday nights, we're reading about false doctrines that were trendy in the 100s that are trendy today.
That's right.
Satan may be clever, but he's got a very limited bag of tricks. And he counts on the foolishness and ignorance of humans to keep falling for the same tricks again and again and again. And so the church comes together, they say, no, that's not true, that's not orthodox, that's not biblical, that's heresy, we don't believe that. They come out with a creed, and 100 years later, some new guy comes forward with this new teaching, and a bunch of people follow him. And if you just go back and read church history a little bit, you say, no, that's not new. That's always been an error. It's always been a heresy. Those who are approved among the church have always shown themselves to be approved by pointing out how unbiblical that heresy is. Well, in our text in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, just as verse 2 tells us there is a way of truth, verse 15 calls it the right way. "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." If you pay attention as we move through this chapter over the next couple of months, you're going to see again and again this is a common theme for Peter here, the way. And he calls it in verse 15, the right way. You know what that means? Every other way is the wrong way. You're just so narrow-minded. We're all just trying to get to heaven our own way. Well, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And those who leave the truth, those who leave the way of truth, those who follow Jesus Christ, who is the truth, aren't on the right way anymore. Even when with their lips they claim. And it's the way of righteousness in verse 21. "For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." So it's the way of truth. It's the right way. It's the way of righteousness. It hasn't changed. It's still there. It's right where it's always been. The gate is right where it's always been. The gate is as narrow as it's ever been. Nothing's changed. The Church of the Living God continues to march forward victorious. There continues to be new false teachers, new false prophets, and people continue to be deceived by them. Continue to follow after these errors. I would warn you, through the words of Peter, I'm not warning you, the Holy Ghost is warning you, beware of those doctrines which are trendy. Beware of that way which is treacherous. Beware of those people who are traitorous, because their way is all truthless. There's one truth. It's the Holy Scriptures. There's one Lord, one God, one baptism, one faith. This is what the Scriptures tell us. It's been constant through the ages. It hasn't changed. Stick to the old way, the right way, the true way, the righteous way. Stay away from those forks in the road, which would promise you some kind of comfort and ease that the Scriptures don't promise you. There is that theologian of the 1940s put it, a cost of discipleship. The Scriptures tell us that there's a cross to be borne. That Christ's yoke is easy and His burden is light, but it's a yoke and a burden. Beware of those who would promise you more than Christ promised you, because they're really promising you much less. A temporal life of ease and comfort is nothing compared to an eternity of glory. That eternal weight, we're told, is not to be compared. So if you're unconverted here this afternoon, I would remind you again that the gospel command is to repent and believe the gospel. And if you're part of the church, the visible church here, be faithful unto death. Beware of false teachers. Beware of becoming a traitor, an apostate. Pray that the grace of God would sustain you. Because all those who have been truly saved will be preserved unto the end. Preserved in faith and good works. Holiness. Be like David. If you commit an act of treason, be quick to repent. To turn back to the right way. That Christ may be glorified in all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. I am a fickle, ignorant person. I confess that the weakness of my mind and my heart and my flesh is to love trendiness, is to be tempted by that which the Scriptures tell me is traitorous. I'm often blinded to just how treacherous that road is. So keep us fast tied to that which is truth, that our hearts and our minds would be stayed on the Scriptures alone, that we would never become so attached to one man or fallible movement that we would allow it to sway us with a new wind of doctrine, but that is our anchors are hooked on that rock which is Christ, we would be found safe through the storms of this life. Please protect this church from error, from heresy, from false teachers and false prophets. Please continue to manifest those who are approved among us, that as heresies arise, the truth and the faithful would be made known to all. Not to the glory of any man, but to the glory of Christ, who keeps us. In whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you back here Wednesday night if you can be here.